it's time for...
All Sweet.
Did you hear what the lady said?
I said, All Sweet. All Sweet is the margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
Yes, friends, that's what all the ladies are saying. All Sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor. Twist, All Sweet Margarine invites you to Meet the Meat. Yes, friends, Swift and Company's family of favorite foods invite you to meet your favorite radio family, the Mortimer Meats, who live on Elm Street in Civic Center. Well, it's early morning in the little white house with the green shutters, and Mortimer Meats stands in the center of the living room, an unhappy, cornered man.
Now, Agatha, no, I won't. I positively refuse.
Yes, dear. Take off your coat.
Oh, but Agatha, this is a terrible thing you're making me do.
Mortimer Meek, stop grumbling and take your coat off.
Well,
you know I've got to finish both my dress and Peggy's in time for the homemakers contest tonight. I have to pin up the hair.
But,
and...
dear.
Your coat?
Yes, Agatha. Golly, what if somebody should come in and see me wearing a dress?
Oh, stop mumbling, dear.
Well...
Now, come on. Put this dress on. Oh, I'm so excited. Just think, Mortimer, two foreign designers are coming to Civic Center as judges. And I just know Peggy and I stand a good chance of winning with our dresses. Well, put it on.
I was hoping my appeal to your better nature would be... Oh, well, now look, do I get over it and pull it up or under it and pull it down?
Stop acting silly, Mortimer. Just put the dress on. Here, pull it on over your head.
Oh, yes, dear. Oh, Agatha.
Now what?
Everything's gone black. I can't breathe. Oh, my head. I can't get it through this dress.
Oh, for goodness sake, yes. You didn't unbutton the top. Here, I'll do it.
Oh, well, hurry up, please. I'm suffocating.
Why, I am hurrying. Now, just a minute. There. You can come out now.
Oh, my gracious. It feels as though I just come out of the Holland Tunnel.
Silly. And now pull the dress all the way down.
Oh, your bag is kind of stuck on my hip. How do you get a dress down over your hip?
You wiggle.
I feel like a hula hula dancer.
Here, I'll help you.
Yes.
Stand still.
Yeah, no, now stop that, Agatha. I'm ticklish now. No, no.
There. Now, get these pins in.
Oh!
Will you behave? I'm trying to get these pins in the hem.
But, Agatha, that's not the hem. That's me.
Now, I'll put another pin here.
Ouch!
Another here.
Oh!
And another.
Agatha, are you using pins or thumbtacks?
Well, if you don't stop pretending. You don't stop pretending I'm sticking you, I'll use nails.
There.
I think that'll do. Now, take it off.
Yeah, I'm afraid I can't.
Why not?
I think you've got it pinned to my socks.
You know, there's one home where I'd rather be invited for the second day of chicken than the first. In other words, for leftover day. And it's all because this hostess really has a way with dibs and dabs of this and that. Her fame, she says, rests squarely on the shoulders of good sauces and all sweet margarine. For instance, into a big earthenware casserole, she pops leftover chicken, leftover corn and green pepper and onions that have been diced and fried in delicate, natural-flavored all sweet. Then over this delectable combination of corn and chicken and peppers, she pours a rich, creamy, all-sweet white sauce. And as a crowning touch, she adds a crisp topping of breadcrumbs and more all-sweet. Baked slowly, this heavenly dish comes to the table savory, succulent, and with the most tantalizing fragrance ever. Yes, you'll find lots of good cooks depend on all-sweet to dress up leftovers. For all sweet simply super flavor just naturally makes any food taste better. So remember, all sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
Now, yeah, Agatha, dear, now please get me out of this dress.
In a moment, dear. Don't you think this drape should be fuller, Mortimer?
Huh? Well, are you addressing me as a husband or a pincushion?
Yeah, what are we going to eat? I'm getting hungry. Oh, well. Oh, look at her. At last I found out what you're good for, Morty. A dressmaker's dummy.
That'll do, Louis. Mortimer is helping me.
Yeah.
I'm pinning up this dress so it'll be ready for the homemaker's contest tonight.
Oh, are you a sight, Morty? Morty. You look like you've been poured into that dress and forgot to say when.
Oh, go away, Louie, and leave me alone in my misery, will you? Look, dear, aren't you finished?
Stop fidgeting. I'm nearly through.
Well, I'm glad. Another set of pins, and I'd need a transfusion. Hello, Peggy, dear.
Buy your ticket for the freak show over here, me see. See the what is it? Half mummy, half mouth. Looky.
Oh, yeah. Peggy, Louie, that will do. This is not a laughing matter.
Oh, no. Aggie, look at him. Look at them skinny legs sticking out from under that bustle.
Oh, Uncle Louie, stop.
Get away,
Daddy.
Well, thank you, dear. Agatha, will you please finish?
Yes, dear. Now, what did you ask me, Peggy?
Oh, about the neckline on my dress, Mother. Oh. Could you please come into my room and look at it?
Of course, dear. Come on.
Oh, but Agatha...
I'll be back in a second, Mortimer. Just relax.
Oh, in this?
I don't know if it's too low or too high.
Oh, too high. Louis, please, will you help me get out of this monster?
I can't right now, Morty.
Why?
I gotta go up the kitchen and build myself a snack. I'm weak from laughing. Oh, boy. Ain't you a sight?
Yes. Boy, ain't you a sight? Well, I'm not going to continue to be a sight. I'll get out of this dress myself. You open my head like this and... Oh, I'm stabbed. Doggone those pins. Oh, my gracious, the door. It was Agatha. It's Peggy. Louis.
Mortimer, see
who that is. Oh, but Agatha, I can't. I'm still in this
Mortimer,
dress.
Mortimer, answer the door. You know I'm busy with Peggy's dress.
Gee. All right, dear. I'll just open it a crack and kind of peek out. Maybe it'll be a salesman or someone like that, and I'll discourage you. Gracious, he certainly is persistent. Hey, just a minute. Oh, my gracious, Mr. Barker.
What's the idea of keeping me waiting, Meek?
Huh?
You know my motto. Which is this? Quick decision.
Well, Mr. Barker, I wasn't...
I don't care what you want. Meek?
Huh?
Since when have you gone in for female impersonation?
No, look, you see...
Never mind. Your private business is your private business. If you want to dress up like an idiot at home, that's no concern of mine.
Oh, but, boss, Mr. Barker...
I am only concerned with things that concern Barker and Cabernet. Now, straighten your hemline and listen to me.
Yes, Mr. Barker. Oh, pin, you know.
Me! Stop squirming and pay attention. My wife, Birdie, is entering a dress she made in the homemaker's contest tonight.
Yes, I know. Mrs.
My niece, Elsie Martin, is also entering a dress she made.
But Agatha and Peggy...
I've been asked to act as one of the three judges. Naturally, I can't be a judge when Birdie and Elsie are contestants.
Oh, well, naturally. And I can't either.
So I have arranged it to have you appointed in my place.
Oh, in your place.
Meek, you're to judge the contest.
I'm to judge the contest.
And you're to see that Birdie and Elsie, my wife and my niece, win the prize.
I'm to see that your wife and your niece win the prize. Oh, you put Mr. Barker, my wife and my daughter.
You have your instructions. See that you carry them out.
But Mr. Barker...
And me, don't fail me. That is all. Signed, hurriedly, Barker.
Judge the contest. Award prizes to Mr. Barker's wife and niece. But Agatha and Peggy expect to win. Oh, what'll I do? Why wasn't I born a dressmaker's dummy instead of just a plain dummy? Oh, fiddle-faddle.
There we are. Well, dear, how do you think my dress looks now?
Oh, lovely, dear. Much better on you than on me. You seem to fill out the right place.
Sure do, sis. When Morty had it on, he looked like a preview of Halloween. All he needed was a broomstick.
What about my dress?
Oh, it's beautiful, Peggy, dear. You look like the queen of the ball.
Oh, I'm just thrilled. Think of me triumphing over that stuck-up Elsie Martin.
Well, but Peggy,
the girl who wins gets to lead the grand march. boy, oh boy, well, I feel wonderful parading down the middle of the floor with Richard.
But Peggy, dear,
and
you
besides, the girl who wins gets crowned.
Say, it's too bad you can't wear a dress, Morty. Wow. Would I like to see you crowned?
Miss Civic Center Fashion Place of 1948. Oh, golly, I better start rehearsing my acceptance speech right away and get used to holding the bouquet of long-stemmed roses.
Oh, you look wonderful, dear, and we'll both get our pictures in the Gazette.
Yeah, and I'll stand next to you.
Look, wait a minute. Agatha, Peggy, Louis, I have something to say.
Well, say it, dear. You act as though we've been monopolizing the conversation.
I pass. Look, dear, Mr. Barker was here just a few minutes ago.
That old windbag... What did he have on what I laughingly call his mind?
Well, it seems that he was supposed to be one of the judges at the homemakers contest tonight.
Mr. Barker, a judge?
Yes.
Oh, terrible. Why, the poor man never gets to see anything really stylish. I know I shouldn't say it, but he has to look at that dowdy wife of his all the time.
To say nothing of that dowdy meat, that awful Elsie Martin.
Well, but you see, that...
Wait, no, stop sputtering and speak up, Mortimer. What did Mr. Barker want?
Well, dear, it seems that he got the committee to appoint me as a judge.
Oh, he got the committee to appoint... But, Mortimer, you?
Daddy, how super!
Hey, that's all right, Morty. I'll give you the wink when some of my favorite tomatoes pass the judges' stand.
Now, just a minute. Mortimer is not going to show any favoritism.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Then what have we got him in the family for, anyway?
Mortimer is going to be fair and just.
Fair and just.
And impartial.
And impartial.
And completely unprejudiced.
Completely unprejudiced.
But naturally, Mortimer is going to appreciate the very newest and latest style.
Well, naturally.
And since Peggy and I have the very latest, I imagine we'll stand better than a fair chance.
Well, naturally, you stand better than a fair chance. But, dear, look, Mr. Barker...
Now, we won't discuss it any further, Mortimer. Since you're now a judge, it would be extremely unfair for us to say any more about the contest. Oh, my goodness, I can hardly wait for tonight.
Oh, me neither, Mother. Just think, winning prizes in front of all of Civic Center. Oh, Daddy, I'm so happy I can just squeeze you to death.
Yeah, well, go ahead, dear. You'd be doing me a great favor.
Hi, Judge. What's the verdict,
huh? Oh, my gracious, is your style show over? I didn't... It's only you, Mr. Weigel.
Yes, I just dropped over to see if you have an extra ticket for the style show, Mr. Meek. You know my wife is interested in every new wrinkle that comes along.
Well, so is Agatha, unless it's on her face.
Well, say, that reminds me. Here's a new wrinkle for Mrs. Meek that's guaranteed to put a smile on your face.
Goodness gracious, that'd be a dandy new sensation.
Sensation? You bet this new breakfast treat is a sensation. Why, even its name is sensational. Orange Pop-Up Toast. Now, of course, this delicious breakfast bread got its name from one of the newfangled toasters that pops the bread out. But believe me, whether you toast the bread in a toaster, over a flame, or in the oven, the family will cheer Orange Toast fixed this way. As soon as the bread is toasted, spread it with all sweet margarine, sprinkle with sugar, a tablespoon of orange juice, and a bit of grated orange rind. Serve piping hot. Now, of course, all sweet is at its most delicious best on toast or other hot bread, but it can be just as important in all of your cooking and baking. So for a delicate, natural-flavored table spread, as well as a rich and economical cooking aid, keep all sweet on hand and keep in right with your family.
Gracious, what a mess. Mr. Barker gets me appointed judge at the style show tonight, so I'd vote for his wife, Bertie, and his niece, Elsie. And if I vote for them, I'm in the doghouse with Agatha and Peggy. But if I don't vote for them, I'm in the poorhouse. I beg your pardon. I didn't see where I was going.
Oh, that's quite all right. I didn't know what I was seeing.
Oh, well, Dr. Fermi, I didn't recognize you.
And I didn't recognize you, Mr. Meek.
Yes.
That's because I've changed a lot, you know.
Yes.
Well, what are you worried about today?
Dr. Fermi, how do you know I was worried?
I always inquire into the normals. Well?
Well, it's about the style show the homemakers are having tonight at the Civic Center Auditorium. You know, everybody exhibits homemade dresses.
Uh-huh. And you're wearing a Mother Hubbard.
Huh?
And you're carrying your own cupboard, aren't you, Mika?
Yes.
Witticism,
well,
you know.
Yeah, well, look, I'm not exhibiting. You see, I'm a judge.
Oh, really? How interesting. Perhaps I can help you.
Oh, if only you could.
I've written a book about fashion, you know.
Oh?
Allow me to quote from chapter 3. Pants are made for men and not for women.
Yes.
When a man pants for a woman and a woman pants for a man, that makes a pair of pants. Pants are exactly like molasses.
How?
They're thicker in January and thinner in July.
Yes.
There has been very much discussion as to whether pants are singular or plural.
Uh-huh.
Well, when women wear the pants in a family, it's plural. And when they don't, it's singular.
Yes.
Finally, if you want to make the pants last, make the coat first. Unquote. There. Don't you feel better about it all?
Yes.
And now I must be off. It's been congealing but revealing. Hello.
Dr. Furry, the answer to a madman's prayer. Well, I might as well go see Mr. Barker and tell him that I can't possibly serve as judge tonight. No, sir. I'll be firm. I'll take a stand. Yes, sir. Mortimer Meek can be pushed only so far. I'll tell him a thing or two.
And furthermore, Meek, I'm surprised at you. Where is your loyalty to Barker and company? How can you stand there and bark the hand? I mean, spite the hand that beats you. Now stop this nonsensical dribble and go to the style show tonight and act as judge. Be honest, be fair, be square, and be sure Mrs. Barker and my niece win first prize in our event. That is all. Signed, Barker. Well?
I understand. Signed, niece. It's I, Agatha, or an unreasonable facsimile thereof.
Well, I'm certainly glad you're home, dear. You know what happened.
Let me tell Daddy, Mother. Do you know what that egotistical Elsie Martin had the nerve to do?
No.
She called me up on the telephone, Daddy.
And tried to lord it over, Peggy.
You should have heard her. Her with that southern accent. Peggy, dear, isn't it too, too bad that you don't sing the same tonight? Dear, Uncle Walter has assured me that I'll win first prize at the style show. Ta-ta! The cat.
Did you ever hear anything like it, Mortimer?
Oh, I'll show her.
Oh, indeed you will, Peggy. And as for her aunt, Mrs. Bertie Barker.
Mm.
Well, I'll show her a thing or two myself.
Mm.
Even if she is your boss's wife, Mortimer.
Mm. Mortimer, you look positively green.
Look at your father, Peggy.
But, Daddy, what's wrong? Say, you do look green.
Yeah, well, it's nothing at all. They say that green is very stylish this year. There. Now, if I can only sneak out through the window here, I can just disappear. I'll take the bus to Maple Grove, and I'll wander around until the contest is all over, and then I'll walk into the police station there, and I'll tell the police that I've got amnesia. Yes, I'll say yes. Oh, who am I? Where am I? How did I get here? Where is here? Oh, gracious. Golly, I hope Peggy and Agatha understand. Well, here goes nothing. I made it. Now, sneak around the back of the house.
And what?
Sure, any more luck wouldn't hold out. Yes, Louis.
What's the matter with you? You gone nuts or something? Or are you practicing up to be a burglar?
No. I was just... Oh, nothing, Louis. Where did you come from?
Down at the auditorium. They're waiting for you down there.
Eh? Who's waiting for me?
Them two foreign style experts that have come to town to act as the other two judges. Oh, boy, are they ignorant. Yeah, they can't even talk no plain English.
What do they want with me, Louis?
Why, they want to talk over the rules and such for your different contest. Come on, I'm supposed to bring you back with me.
Oh, all right, Louis. Lead on. I wonder if they'll give me a hearty supper tonight.
What are you mumbling about?
Nothing, Louis. I was just shedding a silent tear for a condemned man I know.
And so, mein colleague, tell me, are you inclined towards the long peplum or the short peplum?
Well, Professor Schmier,
there's no greater beauty than the long peplum. Long and full and wide. That is a woman and a peplum.
That is your opinion, Professor Bolshevik. Now, for the true beauty,
the elegant yet natural line, one can only consider the short peplum. Is that not so funny?
Well, Mr. Francois, I...
What utter and complete nonsense is this? I, Franz Schmier, assure you that the long peplum is the only true peplum.
And I, Francois, give you my personal word that the only peplum worthy of discussion is the short peplum. Anyone who says otherwise is stupid.
I say otherwise.
You are stupid.
You are driving me to a duel.
You are driving me to excess.
Yeah, well, you are driving me crazy.
Meet.
Yes? Oh, Mr. Barker. Oh, I didn't recognize you with that red, white, and blue bunting grapes around you.
I don't want to be seen talking to you. I just want to remind you, remember Birdie and Elsie. Signed, Joseph Haste, Barker.
Hey, Morty.
Yes, Louis.
Now, don't forget my tomato when she waltzes by the judges' stand. Her name is Gert.
Gert. But, Louis,
you recognize her. She's wearing that hourglass dress on a fair barrel figure.
Yes, you there. Yes, Professor von Schmier.
Well, I don't know how you say it. Yeah, it's a small.
Oh?
A snook. A liverwurst.
Oh.
But you and I, we will defeat him. We will band together. If he says yeah, we say no.
No.
If he says no, we say yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Voila.
Oh, Mr. Francois.
I must be quickly. Von Schmier is an idiot. You and I together, we prove it. We vote together against von Schmier. We show him. No?
Now, listen, you, I don't want to hit you. Oh, my goodness. Agatha, dear, I'm sorry. I
don't... Oh, now, don't apologize, dear. I know you're under a terrible strain being out in front of everyone as a judge. I just wanted you to wish me luck before the big event.
Oh, well, of course, honey. Good luck.
Oh, thank you.
And Aggie?
Yes?
Wish a little of it my way. I can't explain right now, but I sure can use it. Oh, hello, Peggy.
Well, Father, what are you doing out here near the fire escape?
Hoping somebody'd yell fire. Oh, Peggy, I'm so miserable.
Poor Daddy. Come on, tell me what it's all about.
Well, I can't, Peggy. You're so happy and you look so pretty in your lovely dress. I just couldn't spoil your fun.
Father?
Oh, all right, dear. Well, in the first place, I naturally think that you and your mother should win prizes for your dresses.
Yes?
But Mr. Barker, he threatened me.
Mr. Barker? Threatened you?
Yes. He wants his wife and his niece to win.
Oh, that horrid, awful Elsie Martin.
Yes, and if that isn't enough, the two foreign style experts, von Schmier and Francois, are practically at the point of a duel.
Oh.
And with me in the middle. Oh, Peggy, dear. Listen, what is a peplum?
It's a full flounce. Sort of covers the hips. Why, Daddy?
Well, that's what the two experts are ruffled about. Von Schmier, it seems, is a long peplum man, and Francois is a short peplum bleeder. Oh, why did I ever get into this mess? If only I could...
Hold it, Daddy.
Huh?
I'm thinking.
Huh?
Yes, sir. It might work.
Oh, say, you darling, you don't mean you thought of a way to get me out of this predicament.
Listen, Father, and do everything exactly as I tell you. The peplum, long or short, may save the day.
Von Schmier.
Oh! Yeah, what is it?
Look, I think I should tell you, in all fairness, that your colleague, Mr. Francois... And so, Francois, in all fairness, I think I should tell you that your colleague, Francois...
And now, ladies and gentlemen, as your local representative among the judges, it is my pleasure to announce that the judging will begin. Now, the first contestant will be Mrs. Bertie Barker. Quiet, please. And Mrs. Barker, you will notice, is wearing, let me see here. Oh, an afternoon frock. featuring the short peplum, and it sure it is.
Is it? Terrible.
Oh, quiet. You still make it up ready.
Why do you need a treasure? Oh,
gentlemen.
Loan peplum? From your jacket, I will make a loan peplum like this. No! Oh,
my gold.
From your color, I will make a short peplum like this.
Doesn't that feel better?
Oh, much better, Agnes. Thank you, dear.
Boy, are you a mess, Morty.
Oh, poor Daddy. Caught in between those two awful men.
It's a shame. Not only because Mortimer was knocked down, but because the fight spoiled the whole style show and prevented the awarding of the prizes.
What a shame. Yes, wasn't it?
Well, Mortimer and me, what are you laughing about?
Oh, laughing? Oh, no, Agnes. Well, I guess I must be hysterical. Yes, that's it. I'm hysterical because I didn't get to award the prize.
Don't mind me, Mother. Like Daddy, I'm hysterical, too.
Now, I'm not exactly an authority on children, but I've a hunch that on Saturday mornings, the young set at your house will enjoy coloring a week's supply of all sweets. And it's so easy, even your very youngest can help. They'll have fun watching the snowy whiteness of all sweets turn to the rich golden yellow many folks prefer in this delicious table spread. You see, all sweet has such a delightful creamy texture, every speck of color blends evenly and quickly into the margarine. There are no streaks, no bumpy bubbles, no off-color lumps to mar the smooth, golden-rich beauty of this delicate, natural-flavored margarine. Incidentally, the children will be intrigued by the tricky little tab on the color packet. You see, it's designed to open the packet easily without spilling. A pleasant thought if your little eager beavers are inclined to be a bit rambunctious. Now, after all sweet is colored, the children can get it back in shape simply by placing it in the carton and chilling. And then, as a happy reward for happy work, give them a slice of fresh bread spread from crust to crust with delicious, wholesome, all sweet. Remember, all sweet. The margarine with the delicate, natural flavor.
How's your black eye, Daddy?
Well, it's still a little tender, dear.
Aww.
Yeah, and changing from that nice purpley shade to a sort of a green. Mm.
Poor Daddy. I meant for those two foreign judges to fight between themselves.
Yes, I know, dear.
I didn't mean for you to get in the middle, Daddy, honest.
No, I know you didn't, Peggy. That was my idea.
Yes, that was your idea. That was your idea?
Yes, dear. I knew that if I didn't get knocked out, I'd still have to choose between your mother's dress and Mrs. Barker's dress. So I chose instead to get my peplum knocked off.
Meet the Meat, starring Forrest Lewis and Burl Vaughn, is written and directed by Les Weinrot. Be sure to join us over these same stations next Saturday when All Sweet, the margarine with the delicate natural flavor, again invite you to Meet the Meat. This is John Weigel speaking. Thank you.